Amen. 1 Peter chapter number 4. We're going to begin at verse number 4. And it says, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Amen. You don't have to turn there, but I'm going to read some from Psalms 145. Psalms 145 and 3, it says, "Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable." His greatness is unsearchable. Amen, amen. I was telling Sister Stacy this morning, and Brother Garrett in the back, I was like, y'all better teach Sunday school really fast, because I don't believe I'm going to be very long. It's just going to be a quick little sweet message this morning. Amen. Just hang with me as well. You'll see my title. But my title for this morning's message is, "The Devil is a Liar." Nothing spectacular to it, but the devil is a liar. Amen. If you'll put your Bibles down, let's ask God to move here and have his way here in this morning. Oh, that's it. Come on, will you lift your voice? I believe there's some people that God wants to minister and talk to this morning. Oh, but we need to lift our voices. God can move. God can have his way. But if we don't have our minds locked in, he can walk right by. We don't want him to pass us by. Hallelujah, Jesus. To me, God. Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, amen. God bless you, and you may be seated. Amen, amen. Since I have a lot of verses here this morning to read, but since the beginning of time, the Bible shows us that Satan is a liar. This is jumping way ahead of myself, but even in the Bible it says how he is a liar, and he is the father of all lies. Amen. He is the father of lies. His entire goal is to get his hands on the children of God, to sow the lies in our minds. It is consistently a mental battle that we go in with Satan, whether he's putting things in our mind or feeding our mind full of lies, which I believe full-heartedly. As I was praying for this message, my mind was under such attack. I feel like there's the mind in general is consistently a warfare when trying to live for God. I'm trying not to get in my head of myself again. No matter what we face, the circumstances that we battle, what we go against in life, what our daily battle is, our spiritual warfare, seems that it is always in the mind. And Satan is consistently feeding us stuff over and over again. Whether it's telling us that we're hopeless, we're worthless, or trying to feed us depression or lies of just whatever it might be that we cannot make it. He is the father of all lies. Jesus' name, amen, amen. One of the first lies that Satan tries to convince men, this is one of the first lies that I want to talk about, and he has tried to push the Trinity on the children of God, bringing upon in our daily lives, just lying. That is not the truth. Deuteronomy 6 and 4 says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." Ephesians 4 and 5 says, "There is one Lord, there is one faith and one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all." There's only one Lord, amen. There's one God. James 2:19 says, "Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well, because the devils also believe and tremble." Amen, amen. The devils believe and tremble. That's where I was wanting to point it out The devil knows good and well exactly what he is doing by trying to sow false doctrine in our midst, trying to sow other gods in our midst, trying to put the Trinity in our midst, trying to put just other religions in our midst, because the Bible clearly states he knows there's one God as well. Because if you believe there's one, he does too, and he trembles at that one God. That shows the kind of power that our God holds. That's why he has to deter us and try to not get us to believe upon this one God. Because all power is invested in the name of Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. Another part is there's a lot of people. I was reading the other day and I saw it was mentioned that you don't have to be baptized in Jesus' name. You don't have to be baptized in general. I was talking it's been a while ago with an old at my old past work, and she was talking about how someone gave their life to the Lord, you know, by accepting him as their savior, but he wasn't baptized, and you know, he passed away in a car accident. And that's I'm not to judge. That is God's responsibility to place where an individual goes, whether it's heaven or hell. That is not my right. But as I was thinking, I was like, man, that's so sad, because no, accepting the Lord as your personal Savior is not the right move anyways. That's not what the Bible says. Also, the Bible says that you have to be baptized. Acts 2:38 says, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Matthew 28:19 says, go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. John chapter number 3, we all know this story. Jesus answered, saying, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he shall not enter into the kingdom of God. So it ain't just enough to repent of our sins. It's not just enough to come in and say, hey, I believe God is, he is one Lord. That's not enough. There is more to what we are required to do. We are required to be baptized in Jesus' name. There's no other way that we can be baptized. Baptism in the name of the Father and Son and of the Holy Ghost, that's not right. Baptizing in the name is right, I should say. In the name of Jesus is the right way. Amen. That's why it is important for us to be completely invested in church. It's because the devil is the father of all lies. Since the beginning of time, we see how he lied to Eve. And you say, well, he technically didn't lie. And it's like, no, yes, he did lie. He did lie. Yes, he questioned God's authority first. He said, did God say? And technically, no, God, like, all the word Adam is the one who said, hey, the day that you touch it, you will die. But God said, when you eat it, you will die. And so Satan is questioning authority. But it gets to the point where he even twists it and starts to say, it's because he's scared and he knows that you're going to be like other gods. He begins to twist it and sow this in Eve's mind. And this is what we have to be careful of in this day and age. Because if we're not fully invested in the church, then he's going to start sowing some lies in our minds. He's going to start causing some issues in our minds. This is why it's so important to come to church, to be in church every service, because the adversary is out there seeking whom he may devour. You've got to come to church. We've got to connect every service. We can't let one service go by. In Jesus' name. Oh, can we praise him right now? Oh, worship him. Amen, amen. Proverbs 23:23. This is what I felt on my heart this morning and last night. It says, buy the truth and sell it not. It is so important to hold close to this truth. As I looked at Brother Boney's life and just the testimony he left behind, there was not one person that would not agree in everybody's words where he loved truth. He loved truth. There was something down in him that no matter what happened, I love truth. Even though his daughters and his granddaughters and great-granddaughters all backslid, he still stood firm to what he believed in the truth, in the truth. That's what we've got to do. It's not good enough to try to fit in with the world. I know this is a huge test, is wanting to be like everybody else. If we're the oddballs out, we kind of want to fit in and not be abnormal. But we've got to buy the truth and sell it not. Don't give in to this world's lies. Believe the truth with your whole heart. In Jesus' name, I'm preaching this for myself too, because this is something that I struggle with. When it's kind of awkward sometimes when people are laughing at jokes and things that we shouldn't have, and we're kind of sitting there. I tell you, it's almost every single day at my work that they tell me all the time, man, I wish you watched TV. I wish you had movies. I wish you could see movies. I don't know why you don't do this. What do your kids do? Like, do your kids watch TV? I'm like, no, they don't. We have a good time. We play. It's family time. We talk, you know? But it's almost every single day. And the other day, one of them approached me, and they're like, hey, I've got a question for you. Please don't get mad at me, because I know you're just innocent and you're just different. And I was like, you know, I could feel weird about that. And in a way, it almost made me feel weird. But at the same time, I have an obligation. I've got to stand back. I've got to stand for the truth. I got to be a witness. It might be me standing for truth, no matter the hard situations that causes them to start to question. They know what I believe. They know I go to church all the time. But we've got to be a witness. If you start to try to fit in at school, if you try to fit in at work, you're killing your witness. You're killing your chance to witness to these souls. Stand for what's right and stand for truth. Jesus' name. As I was praying too, I was thinking, as it's so hard. It's getting harder as young people, because there's so much things that try to come up. There's so much more temptations, and there's just a lot to battle and to face. And I'm not pointing any of y'all out specifically. This is just in general. But it is so, sometimes when I go other places, to other church, I don't see the fire that used to burn within young people. I don't see just the eagerness within young people to show up to church as soon as the doors open. I don't see the eagerness of young people wanting to seek God and pray no matter what happens. My wife used to tell stories all the time about how their hanging out spot was the church. That's where they went to hang out as friends, was the church. They would pray and spend times and have fun at the church. I remember the times when I was a young person being the first one in the door just so I could get a good seat. I'm not saying that everybody has to be like that, but where is the fire and the love for truth in this generation? Buy the truth and sell it not. Fall in love with God. Don't listen to the devil's lies. This is what's more important. This is what you've got to live for. It's not all about money. It's not all about what degree you can get. What if you get the highest degree and you lose your soul? What if you're making $1 million and you still end up in a devil's hell? I'm telling you, let it go. Let it go and get back in the Bible. Get back in the Word. Start following truth. Jesus. Oh, can we pray right now? Oh man, I feel God right now. This is not the part that I intended to focus on, but I feel it heavy in my spirit. Can we pray right now? In Jesus' name. In Jesus. In Jesus. Oh, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Woo. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, come on, that's it. I'm not trying to pick on any one person. I might not even know who I'm preaching to. But all I'm saying is in my spirit, I feel that we've got to focus on the Word. Each time we come into church, sometimes it's too normal to see a vacant look in people's eyes. Yes, they're here in body. Yes, they're here physically and maybe going through emotions, but there's no connection between the physical and the spiritual. That's what I mentioned before I even started preaching. It's a complete waste of time. Why even show up if you're not even going to try to get anything out of the service? I hear me out. I know it's good and God can touch you. But what I'm saying is don't waste your time. Time is valuable. You know the truth. That's why you're here today. But it's important that if you don't get locked in, you don't know what's sitting out there. There is no pause for the enemy. There is no stopping. Even when you go to sleep, it's spiritual warfare. He can send dreams into your sleep. You can wake up and be affected by your mind or by fear. And what if you left out in an altar service and never got connected to the Spirit? What are you going to do? Where, how strong are you truly spiritually if you're not connected? In Jesus' name. Ooh, Jesus. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. This is why I believe it's so important to really buy the truth and sell it not. I had a great conversation with a friend the other day that really pricked my heart as well. And we were talking, me and him started together a Bible reading plan, and we're just going through it and we're checking in on each other every day, see how each other is doing. And he mentioned, you know, like, hey, you know, I'm reading my Bible, but I'm still struggling with prayer. And he's like, I can get it in, but it's just so hard. I feel like it's an afterthought. And then he said one night when he was praying that he was like, God, you know, he was going through the motions basically. And he said that he felt God just kind of impress upon him that it's like, yeah, it's because you're too busy. And when you say that you're too busy for prayer, you're too busy for God. And that smote me. It's like our lives are way too busy to the point where if we're honest with ourselves, if the words come up that I don't even have time to pray, we are too busy for God. We've got to make it priority. We've got to make God priority, or everything else will fill our day up. It's way too easy. I've been there. It's, you know, we're going along our day and, hey, I want to pray in the morning, you know, oh, but I'm running late. You know, I didn't have this washed, or I need to eat real quick because, you know, I forgot I have to take something, you know, and you're going about your day and it's like, hey, it's nighttime, but I really need to wash my clothes for work the next morning, and I got to make sure I put them in the dryer, and I've got to cook, and my house is a wreck, and before you know it, it's 10, 11, 12 o'clock at night. Where is your prayer time, you know? Like, where has it gone? And even then, if we try to fit in prayer time, it's casual because we're so tired. We've already had too much. It's important that we've got to make time for God. Amen, amen. That was free. That was a little side note. Amen, amen. Prayer is communication. Amen. I also believe that we need to be renewed in the Holy Ghost. Just getting the Holy Ghost once is not enough. I'm sorry, but the Bible says, the Apostle Paul says, I die daily. 1 Corinthians 15, 31. He says, I die daily. If the last time we spoke in tongues and repented of our sins was when we get the Holy Ghost, I'm sorry, but we're lost. You're lost. We've got to be renewed in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Titus 3 and 5 says, not by works of righteousness which ye have done, but according to his mercy he has saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians 6:9 says, know ye not that the righteous shall inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor effeminate, nor abuser of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, you are sanctified, and you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. I pulled that verse because it said, with all of these sins, they shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. So I want to ask people, if you believe in internal sanctification, if you believe that the first time you were saved, you don't ever have to go through it again, answer me this. If that's the truth and you go commit one of these sins, are you still saved? No, it is not. The Bible says you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. And it says such were some of you. That means you're not doing it anymore, or you shouldn't be doing it anymore. Amen, amen. One last lie that I want to preach about this morning. One last lie. And it is Satan questioning the promise of God made to us. Questioning the promise of God made to us. I believe here this morning that there are some people that God has made us a promise. Each individual, maybe he has, maybe it hasn't. But I feel like someone, God has made you a promise. And I felt in the spirit while I was praying that Satan is trying to lie and make you question if the promise will ever get answered or if you ever even got a promise from God. Satan's first thing to do is to question it. Genesis 3:1, it says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. He was not wrong questioning, but he knew he could ruin the promise of God by making them question the truth behind it. 2 Corinthians 11, this is just showing you, says, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted with the simplicity that is in Christ. He's talking about how he beguiled Eve. This is one of Satan's games, is to get in your mind. I don't know what promise you God might have given you, whether it's God's want. God promised you that your lost daughter or your lost son is going to come back to church. Whether God promised a miracle in your finances, whether God promised you a raise at work, whether it's God promised you a miracle in your health. I don't know what God has promised you, but it's Satan's intent to keep that promise at the back of your mind and even cause you to question the promise of God. I'm here to tell you today that Satan is the father of all lies. Do not believe the lie if God's given you a promise. Let the promise of God sit at the forefront of your mind and say, Satan, you are a liar. God promised it to me, and it's going to happen someday. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen. We can all stand. The devil, John 8:44 says, when he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he is a liar and the father of it. He is the father of all lies. There's in the Bible, it also talks about how God's promises are yea and amen. The Bible also talks about how God is God a man that he should lie? No, he cannot lie. It is impossible
for God to lie. So I'm preaching to someone here tonight. If God made you a promise, stand on your promise. Hold fast to your promise. Don't let it go. Bring it back. Bring it back and start to rebuke Satan in Jesus' name. Let the promise of God live on. In Jesus' name. Oh, can we worship Him here this morning? Oh, come on, let's worship Him. Oh, God, we praise You, Jesus. Oh, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come on, that's it. Let's praise Him. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, that's it. Maybe He's made you question in your mind that you're worthless, that you're hopeless, that you're better off dead. You're not going to make it to heaven anyways. You've already backslid before. Why don't you just backslide again? Those are lies. And rebuke them in Jesus' name. Satan is the liar. Oh, come on. That's it. I don't know what you've been struggling through mentally. I don't know what you've been struggling with in your mind or what kind of lies He's put in your mind. But it's time to get Him out of your mind. He's played the games in your mind long enough. Satan is a liar. Stand upon your promise.